following the Spirit. For them that are led of the Spirit shall be the sons of God. Do I have any witnesses here? Come on and say yes. We need to get to a point that we quit letting the devil handle us. And if you keep feeding him, do you know in Genesis he was a little garden snake that was hanging out in a tree. But then in Revelation, he ended up being a dragon. How did he become a dragon? Because he kept eating the dust, eating up your flesh, eating up the dirt. Oh, come on and say amen. Quit throwing dirt and be somebody that breaks up dirt. I came to plant a seed in your life. I came to break up your flesh. I came so that there'll be something inserted in your life. He said that I want you to become plowers. And sometimes plowing means that you got to bust some things up. Oh, come on and say amen here. When people want to live wrong, it's your job to get your plow and bust it up. When people start cussing and talking nasty and crazy around you, you need to bust it up and say, you know, I don't have time for that. When people want to gossip, I want to bust it up and say, I ain't got time for the gossip. All I want is the gospel. When people want to tell you a lie and you know the lie's coming out, you ought to just bust it up and say, look, I don't have time for lies, but I want the truth because the truth will make me free. Do I have any witnesses? Come on and say yes. When people talk about how bad off they are and what they can't do and what you can't do, bust them up and use a word and say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Oh, come on and say amen. When they tell you why everything is so hard to do, you say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Do I have a witness here? Come on and say yes. Oh, come on and say amen. But when he says in 62, he said, looking back, any man looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. I need to tell you something. The Bible, Paul says, he said, brethren, there's one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and I reach forth to what's before me. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high call, which is in Christ Jesus. Anybody here say, I'm pressing toward the mark? See, sometime when you press, you got to realize there's a little bit of stuff that's going to press back against you. And so there is some stress. But I'm too blessed to worry about mess and worry about stress. I'm going to press toward the mark. Anybody here focused on the mark? Are you focused on people? Are you focused on conditions? Are you focused on situations? I look beyond my faults. I look beyond my failures. I look up to the hills for whence cometh my help, because my help come from the Lord. I know I've been afflicted. You don't have to remind me, but many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, he'll deliver me from them all. I know I've been sad. I know I had some situations, but joy comes in the morning. Anybody encouraged? Oh, come on and say yes. I know my soul has been down in the dumps, but I heard Jesus say, I heard David say in the word of God that he restored my soul. Do I have anybody that said, Lord, restore my soul? Oh, come on and say yes. I may not see the direction I go, but I know he'll be a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. He's the God of my salvation. Do I have anybody that say he's the light of the world? Jesus say, I am the light, and if any man be in me, he walk not in darkness. Come on and say yes. People telling you all about how the devil gonna do this and how the devil can do that, but let me tell you what God can do. God can do anything but fail, lie, and die. Do I have a witness? Let me tell you that God can raise you up. When people write you off, God can wipe you off. When people empty you out, God can fill you up. When people put you out, God can turn you up and turn your life around. Do I have anybody that say, I'm a witness that the Lord can? If I just follow him and focus on the Lord, the call cost of discipleship. It may cost me a few fake friends. It may cost me some folks lying on me and even talking about me. But what I do know, that whatever it costs me is well worth it, because the Lord will, he'll deliver my soul. He'll protect me. He said in Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge. Anybody here know that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and they are saved? Do I have a witness? Anybody here know that the angel of the Lord encamped about us to protect us? Somebody say yes. I may go through some stuff, but when I come forth, I come out as pure gold. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Do I have anybody that say, preacher, I'm with you? I know he will. Anybody know he will? I say, won't he do it? Won't he be a fixer? Won't he be a deliverer? Won't he be a healer? Won't he be a helper? Somebody say yes. Say yes. I know he's all right. Anybody here say, I'm willing to follow if it costs my life. For God I live, and for God I die. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come hell or high water, it doesn't matter to me, because I heard him in his word. He said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. Anybody here say, I'm a disciple. I want to live like Jesus. I want to be pleasing in the sight of the Lord, because he's on my side. He looked beyond my faults and he saw my needs, and I'm here to give him glory. Say yes. Say yeah. I know he's all right. The cost of discipleship. I might go through poverty. I might have some lack in my life, but he'll supply all of my need according to his riches in glory. In other words, even if I'm bankrupt, God is not bankrupt. Even if I'm deficient, God can never be deficient. I have an access to him, that a supply that never runs out. He has some things that are in store. He said, I haven't seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of any man the things that God has in store for them. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, I don't know what all God has, but he got something for you. Just trust him. Just believe him. Come on, shake your neighbor and say, neighbor, you need to trust the Lord that he'll supply your need. Say yes. Why are you worried? Why are you trying to figure it out? God already worked it out. Come on, shake your neighbor and say, neighbor, oh neighbor, why are you trying to figure this out? God, say it like I said it. Say, God already worked it out. Ain't he all right? Tell him, say, ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Say, yeah. Yeah, I know he's all right. Yes, he is. We gotta stop complaining. Stop belly aching. I heard the songwriter say, I've had some good days. I had some bad days. I had some hills to climb. I've had some sleepless nights. But when I look around and I think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days. You see, sometimes when you think about your trouble, you need to say, it outweighs my bad days. Do I have any witnesses? Anybody thought of all your sicknesses? Oh, well. Oh, come on and say yes. When they lied on you, when they had an attitude with you, when they talked about you, when your bills are due, don't know where the money coming from, say yes. Anybody here, it outweighs, Oh, come on and say yes. You see, you got to understand that when the glory of God, the Bible said when you go through tribulation, the glory of God, it rests upon you. And the word glory means the kabod of God. What the word kabod means, it means the weight of God. Whenever it seems like your trials and your tribulations get a bit heavy on one side, God's glory rests on the other. And he tilts the scale and he tilts it in your favor. I don't know about you, but the favor of the Lord, come on and say yes. Favor may not be fair. Oh, come on and say yes. I don't deserve it, but he loves me so much.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
be all right.
At 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
It's a bow that has a close and reverence to God. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this wonderful opportunity once again to study your word. Thank you for this first Bible study of the year. Thank you for these your people who have made the sacrifice, pressed their way against the inclement weather to be here to hear what you have to say to us. Now, God, do in this study what you desire to do to reach us as you teach us your word, your will, and your way. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Well, God bless you. Give the Lord a big hand of praise. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to have a little audience participation in our study today by way of reading. We have seven verses that we're going to look at found in Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 16. Now we can do it one of two ways. We can all read together, or we can have one person read each verse. However you all want to do it is all right with me. So since I have no recommendations, we're going to start with a verse. Will someone stand and read real loud and call off the verse you're reading? Verse 16.
Luke, the 12th chapter and the 16th verse. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully.
Someone else real quickly.
17. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits.
All right.
Verse 18, and he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods.
All right.
And I will say to myself, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.
All right.
Verse 20, but God said
unto
him, thy fool, this night thy soul will be required. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?
And finally, verse 21.
Luke 12:21. So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God.
Amen. God bless. I want us to focus our thoughts today on unrighteous resolutions. Unrighteous resolutions. And for the very obvious reasons, many of us either have in the past or have presently participated in resolutions. We want to, at the beginning of the new year, do things differently because we've heard that it's ludicrous to expect change doing the same thing. So that means that there are things we must do differently if we expect differently to happen to us. And so one of the reasons why I thought it would be helpful for us in this study to understand something about resolutions is that all resolutions are not righteous resolutions. And all resolutions are not godly resolutions. And what makes an unrighteous resolution, just so that you'll know from the onset of this message, is any resolution that God does not participate in or God does not have plans for or God does not get praise from is considered an unrighteous resolution. Now, one of the things that I do want you to note is that there were no immoral acts being committed here to make them unrighteous. You see, this was a hardworking, industrious, dedicated, committed, focused man who was really just a workaholic. Okay? But his problem was he left God out of his thinking. He left God out of his plans. As a matter of fact, when you begin to think about resolutions, and most folk usually think about resolutions in very different ways, but when you really think about the makeup of a resolution and understand that it is decided firmly on an action or determination. In other words, you've made up your mind, this is what you want to do, or this is what you're going to not do, etc. That's basically what your resolution entails, all of that. But there are some makeups, some parts to a resolution that many of us don't realize go into it. For a resolution to be declared and followed through and successful, there must be reflection. One, there must be reflection. Then two, and we'll go a little bit further into this, there must be repentance. Three, there must be resolve. Four, there must be realignment. And then five, there must be rejoicing. Now, what you're going to notice in Scripture, this man has three of the qualifying parts to a successful resolution. He leaves out two, And here's a helpful holy hint. Most times we, like this man, miss it because we leave out two parts of the five-part resolution fulfillment. Two parts, and we'll go into it and we'll see it. Again, verse 16, Jesus talks, sets up the story, it's the parable rather set up, and then Jesus is telling this story about this man who has built big barns, etc. The first thing he does, you'll find, is reflections in this resolution. Reflections. First thing the man does, what does verse 17 say? Okay, I see reading together don't work. All right, verse 17, someone read again for me. And he thought within himself. All right, that's what? That's reflection. See, one of the things that you've got to know is whenever we start making resolutions, it's most times because some things have gone awry. Some things are not where we desire them to be. We have come to the recognition of where we ought to be, we aren't. And so when we begin to look at all things considered, it's because we've reflected on where we have been and probably still are. And know that either we've been in the wrong place and we desire to get out of that place, or two, we are in a place less than where we ought to be. Now, we may not have been where we were, but we're not where we ought to be. So because of that, we look back and we say, you know, how many times have I gone back over? You know what, I want to do this by the time I'm so-and-so age, or this and that age, or by the time I get this, I want to have that. How many of us have made those kind of resolutions? Exactly. Somebody's, you know, they've said, I want to have all this done by the time I'm this age and that, et cetera. And then we look and we realize, wow, I'm nowhere near where I said I wanted to be at this point. Somebody said, well, you know, by the time I reach 50, I want to be able to be set up for retirement. And you're 49 and you ain't no closer than you were at 21. Then you say, oh my God, I'm going to be working until I'm 75. At this rate. All right, so you reflect upon where objectively you desire to be and where you know you have the wherewithal to be, but something has happened, and oftentimes what has happened has been much of our own fault. Amen. We've not stayed focused or we've not been faithful. Now, there are other things that happen to us, but those things we can't control. It's called fate, F-A-T-E. So we've either not been faithful or we've not been focused, or faith has entered the picture and came up with some parts that we didn't see while we were making our plans. Okay? So reflection is what we see here in Scripture and in reality why many of our resolutions never come to pass. One, because they're not righteous. All right? Second thing is, verse 18. Someone read that very loudly for us.
And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods.
All right. Now look at what he says he's going to do. He's going to, after reflecting, now, I want you to know something here. He has skipped what part? Repenting. He goes straight from reflecting to resolve. This will I do. Well, you know, he might say, well, you know, I don't have, God's been good to me. And I need to say that reflecting or reflection doesn't always mean reflecting on the bad. It could very well be on the good. But then how many times have we not been grateful for the good we've gotten? How many times have we not been thankful for the good that we've already received? And so to be desirous of more without having been grateful for what you've already had makes you an ingrate. So that means repentance. We want more. Give me more. Give me more. Give me more. I want this. I want that one. Have you really been truly been grateful and thankful for what God has already done for you? Doors he's already opened up for you. Ways he's already made for you. The things that he has done that no other could do already. Have you ever stopped at that point of reflecting to say, Lord, maybe I have not given you the praise, the glory, the thanks. If I had 10,000 tongues, I'd praise you with everyone. But since I don't, let me thank you as much as I can with the one I have. And so oftentimes we skip over repenting. This man skipped over repenting. He went straight to resolving, resolution. He says, what am I going to do again? Verse 18. I will pull down my barns. I will pull down what I already have. I will tear down. I will have a demolition and construction program going on. I'm going to tear down what I got and build greater. Because his expectation was that his harvest is steadily growing. And can I tell you, that was a sign right there that he should have had some inkling that it had more to do with just him. Because he had nothing to do with the sunshine. He had nothing to do with the rain. He had nothing to do with the elements in the ground. He had nothing to do with the timing of their sprouting. He had nothing to do with all of the things that God had something to do with. And yet he does not even acknowledge God. And yet the Lord is blessing him, blessing him, blessing him. But there comes a point in time where God gets enough of that. Amen. So his resolution is, listen, I tell you what I'm going to do. This is good, but I want greater. Now notice here, he's a very focused man. He's a very industrious man. He's very committed and dedicated. Matter of fact, it doesn't really even show where he has a family. He's such a workaholic that his whole focus is on his job. Focus on being productive. Now listen, there is a place for being productive. But it shouldn't consume your whole life. There ought to be a balance. Listen, you can have all the money in the world if you don't have family and loved ones and friends to share it with. What does it really profit a man if he gains the whole world besides not having Jesus? Because the sad thing is, when we look further in Scripture, even when he got ready to celebrate, he didn't have nobody but himself to celebrate with. That's just because he didn't want to share none of that with nobody. And you know what? That's where you really fall in love with your stuff. And I don't ever, ever want to love stuff that can't love me back.
Right now, amen.
When people talk about, ooh, I love my car. I said, that's strange. Why would you love an inanimate object? Something that can't love you back. You know, or you love this, you know, politician, this athlete, this entertainer, and they don't even know you exist. Listen, it ought to be a reciprocal, a mutual thing. At least you ought to at least be known of if you love somebody that much. But never should we love stuff. When we start loving stuff, we become the servant to the stuff rather than the stuff becoming servant to us. And I like my stuff. I like it a lot. But I ain't in love with none of it. Amen. I mean, because I got news for you. They got better stuff than the stuff I got. You know? And so, and you know, when you start realizing that you don't fall in love with the stuff, then you do not attach feelings that are meant for humans and for God, more especially to things that are inanimate, that can't feel it, that don't know it, that has no existence or knowledge of its existence, and you love it. Next time somebody say that in your presence, you ought to just give them a helpful, holy hint. Say, does it love you back?
All right, now. All right.
And if it doesn't, and then they say, yeah, love me back. Well, you can kind of explain to them what you mean because they're talking cuckoo. You know, yeah. Yeah, my car love me back. Every time I get in and I turn the ignition, it start right on up. Take me where I want to go. Yes, that's what it's designed to do.